This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, starting the 3 o'clock hour a little late, but I am live at the Kaseya Center. Have you heard any background noise? I think there was some music and then some testing of the microphones. It's because I am live at the Kaseya Center ahead of the Miami Heat and the Detroit Pistons. Crowder, they have some. Crowder's in Nashville, by the way. Dan and Jimmy are back in the studio. And Hawk is in London. He'll be back with us on Monday. They have the ESPN engineers down low. Crowder, this is a national TV game. So, they're getting everything set up for the broadcasters tonight. And it is funny, like, the Heat are in the midst of the worst losing streak in over 15 years, and ESPN's like, huh, all right, yeah, let's pick up a Heat Pistons game like it's 2005.
This is crazy. Think they want to see the downfall of the King.
Yeah, maybe. Let's do Cat Talk here, sponsored by Hollywood Kia. I know, do we have the Cat Talk open, Dan? I should have reminded you, that's on me. Either way, get the Stark treatment. There we go. Cat Talk.
Rawr.
Rawr, rawr, rawr. My bad.
Nah, you're good. Get the Stark treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia and shop online at HollywoodKia.com.
One of my bank accounts are overdrawn, so I was texting.
So you got the text alert that your bank account has been overdrawn?
Yeah. No, my girl Lynn, she texted me and said, yeah, did you write a check for this much? I said, yes. She said, we need to move money and we got to cover $1,800. And so, yeah, my bad.
Incredible, man. That is just unbelievable. You are.
I live on the edge, Solana.
Yeah, but you don't need, like, you played in the NFL. You're not exactly, you're not eating tuna every day out of a can. Like, you're good. You've got a couple different jobs. You've got a damn restaurant. Like, you're doing pretty well, Crowder. You don't need to be having your account overdrawn on a monthly basis.
I'm in control of my finances.
Somebody texted in, I hope they play Pepas today. Yeah, me too, bro. Me too. I mean, it's been a while.
They should beat the damn Pistons.
Bro, the Pistons are good. To put it this way, the last time the Heat played the Pistons here at the Kaseya Center, I believe it was early in the season, the Heat were like 9-point favorites or 8-point favorites. Crowder, the Heat are dogs today at home against the Detroit Pistons. Dogs.
Have you seen what we look like in the fourth quarters recently?
Yeah, but no, a Heat team in the regular season shouldn't be, unless they were missing like their entire roster, right? But a Heat team in the regular season in March to be home dogs against the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, and I'm not diminishing what the Pistons have done. It's remarkable. The turnaround from last year to this year, like hats off. Hats off to that entire organization, but to be dogs to a six seed in March is it's a little embarrassing, to be 100% honest. It is a little embarrassing.
Yeah, because it's not it's the structure of it. It's no monsters on the roster. There's very good players. We bring up Bam. We bring up Tyler. Solana, I actually want an apology for what I've been saying about this team and these players for years, is that they're not – these guys are not top players. We need a top player to have these very good players lean on. And Jimmy, I didn't even think Jimmy was a real one, even though getting them to it and Spo doing his coaching and everything that happens. But, yeah, man, this is what you see when you don't have the monsters that other teams have.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to give you an apology. So if that's what you're hoping to get, you know, I don't know.
I thought a sorry was coming, but I see how you work.
Nope, not coming from me. just to actually get to Cat Talk here, we got some updates from Paul Maurice. I'm reading in Florida Hockey Now. Dmitry Kulikov, he ran into Anthony Duclair the other day, and he was holding his right arm. And Paul Maurice said he could miss a couple of weeks. And then no changes to the timelines for Brad Marchand, who's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. That has stayed the same, according to Paul Maurice. And Matthew Tkachuk remains out at least until the start of the playoffs. So that sucks. That sucks. And then he writes, Sam Bennett did not skate Wednesday, but Maurice said he was just getting a day off and would play tomorrow in Columbus. So good news regarding Benny. Yes. Crowder, before we get to headlines here, I saw a couple rule changes in the NFL. And, you know, like the tush-push was being proposed, and there was a whole list of them today. Maybe we'll get to all of them a little bit later because there's some interesting ones. But this is the one that I like. The Eagles proposed a rule change that will align the regular season overtime rules with the postseason overtime rules. So essentially, one 15-minute period where both teams, they're going to get the opportunity, Crowder, to possess the ball. So that's how they do it in overtime. So right now in the regular season, let's say Dolphins are playing the Jets, and it goes into overtime in a regular season game. Dolphins get the ball first. They go down. They score a touchdown. Game's over, right? The Jets have to either take the ball away via takeaway or force the Dolphins to punt or hold the Dolphins to a field goal, and then they have to go down the other way and either tie the game or win it and so on. But in the playoffs, each team, no matter what happens, gets a chance to have the ball. And I don't understand why there would be any pushback here. The overtime rules in the regular season suck, and this to me seems, if they're going to keep it the same way it is right now, one 10 to 15-minute period, and they're not going to go to college overtime, which doesn't even ever seem to be in the cards. And in my opinion, this is the best way to do it. Give each team a chance to go and possess the ball no matter what.
Oh, Hunter, I'm with you 100%. It is pushback where I don't want the coin toss to decide what team is better, because you know some prolific offenses where, okay, well, I see tails and now it's heads and now team scores and the game's over. No, I want to see, and I honestly won't even say I, make it personal, Solana. The world wants to see Patrick Mahomes go and score a touchdown and then Josh Allen get the ball and have to score a touchdown. And now we're playing football, because that's pretty much how the game has gone. If they're tied, it's where there was four quarters and y'all couldn't decide on a winner. And now playoffs, I mean, overtime is going to be, oh no, it's whoever wins the coin toss. Like it's silly. I think it needs to be consistent, and I'm with the Eagles. I want both teams to get the ball because I want to see who's going to be in the playoffs. Two top-notch MVP quarterbacks leading their offense down the field. That's what football is about.
Because I understand the person who's arguing, well, I mean, you had four quarters to win the game, and your defense had four quarters to get stops. Now, go get a stop. But you're right. Like the NFL is tailor-made for offenses now. So the defenses are already at a disadvantage starting any possession. Now you put it in overtime, they're tired, and you're giving the offense an opportunity, hey, go score a touchdown, the game's over. Like, you're literally deciding games based on a coin flip. So I hope this passes with absolutely nobody pushing back on it, because it seems like a no-brainer. Am I the only one, though, Crowder, who believes the NFL should adopt the college football overtime rules? Because, man, I think it is perfect. I think it's exciting. I think it's what fans want to see. You get the ball at the 30 or the 35, whatever the hell it is, each team gets an opportunity. Go score. Boom. 35-yard line. Go score.
I would not be against it, but it's something that Hawk says all the time that I've kind of adopted as people talk to me. More football is better. So we have one possession, the team scores, game's over. What if we can have two possessions and see if the team can tie it? Like, more football is better. I don't know if it's fandom. We lose what football and basketball and baseball and all these professional sports and college sports are. It's really entertainment. So if you tell me, Beyonce jumped in my mind, but I don't know if y'all like Beyonce or Daft Punk or whatever y'all listen to. Hall of Notes. Okay, and a concert could be an hour or a concert could be an hour and a half. What the hell concert would you choose? The hour and a half, because it's entertainment.
Yeah.
Let me get another half an hour of football because I'm doing this for entertainment, gambling purposes, hanging out, drinking beers, having a good time. I don't get the sports fan that doesn't want an overtime to go further. I think it's crazy. It just sounds stupid because of what it is.
But aren't you a player whose body has, you know, been through the ringer for an entire career? Like, I understand players saying, I don't want more wear and tear on my body. I don't want these overtimes going longer and longer and longer, which is why I think the college football playoff system is perfect, because you don't have to go the length of the field, and it's basically like, give me 6 to 7 plays to get into the end zone or kick a field goal. That's it. You got 6 to 7 plays. Your 6 to 7 best plays to get into the end zone. And then if you guys are tied, guess what? You do it again. And then you just, after the third round, 2-point conversions. It's exciting. Everybody loves it. I, for the life of me, do not understand why the NFL doesn't adopt it. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Oh, no. I'm with you, too. And I love college overtime. And as a fan now, Solana, like, I shaved my bunion the other day. I had to shave my bunion the other day on my foot because I got a screw in it, and now it shifted my foot, and I have a bunion on my ring toe.
Right.
But I got paid very well for getting that bunion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to figure out what I had 17 knee surgeries playing the game, but it's part of the game, and I was entertaining people. That's why I got in the radio. People were entertained by me on the field, and then off the field, they were like, damn, this dude has a great personality. Let's talk about it. So, yes, my shaved bunion, I'll sacrifice for the contracts I got, but more football is better, and I'm with you. That the college football system, put a team in the red zone, that's what – there's a damn a station called the Red Zone. So you put the best athletes in the world in the red zone? That's what people want to see, is the red zone. If they adopt college football in the NFL, that would be genius. I think it'd mess up stats and it'd mess up different things
but
all
cares?
That stuff.
Like,
it's the legacy. It's the legacy. It's where Saquon Barkley would have never had a chance last year to break the rushing record without the 17th game.
Stop.
Like, there's going to be guys that break records now because there's an extra game with, and I don't even know the records. Is it Jerry Rice? Is it Eric Dickerson? Like, the sack record's about to be broke. Somebody's going to sit, Michael Strahan's 22.5. Somebody's going to sit there at 22.5 on week 17 with week 18 coming up and really have a chance to break Strahan's record because it's been extended. I think a lot of the purists don't like the rule changes because that's not how football was set up.
I get it. But first of all, the Eagles played 0 overtime games last year, so it wouldn't matter. And I get what you're saying. Like, it's not what they've done, but fans love it. It's like penalty kicks in soccer. Is it the perfect way to decide a World Cup final, or is it the perfect way to decide any game? No. But is it exciting as hell? You get a push notification that there's stakes on the line and a game has gone into overtime and now it's going into penalty kicks. Are you turning it on? F yeah, because it's effing awesome. Same thing with college football overtime. It seems like a no-brainer. Dan, let's do headlines here before we talk with Mike Cugno next segment.
And they're brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, The great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. 2008, the last time the Miami Heat were mired in an 8-game losing streak. They look to end that tonight, 7:30 tip against the Detroit Pistons.
By the way, Jimmy, make sure to mark where Crowder just said that he shaved his bunion, because we will be revisiting that at some point.
You want to see it?
No, I do not. If you hold that raggedy ass bunion on that raggedy ass foot up to the camera, I will throw myself off at the Kaseya Center. There will be no game tonight, so do not throw that foot up onto the screen, please.
I showed y'all before, I have bunion cushions. And I have to wrap my toe sometimes when I'm traveling and walking a lot, man. And now with these broken heels, I have stress fractures in both my feet. These bunions are cranking up.
Yeah, no, it sounds like all that wear and tear was really worth it, for sure. 100%.
This coming from a man, I got handsomely played to get a screw put into my bunion. 10 minutes before that, I just got an overdrawn bank account.
Yeah, you better watch out, bro. Damn. You better watch out. Damn.
I control my finances.
I know.
I like to trickle money into accounts.
Just in case someone's watching. You never know who's watching.
Man, ain't nobody. You don't need to see how much I got.
The Heat, by the way, are 4.5-point dogs. I think when we started the show.
It was 5.5 earlier.
Oh, was it? Because yeah. when I looked at it earlier today, I think it was, man, I thought I saw it at 3. No, you're right. 5.5. It was 5.5 earlier. Wow. That is a lot, man. At home.
No surgery. I don't have to have surgery on my feet.
Yeah, you told us yesterday. Yeah, congratulations, man. Real proud of you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. No surgery on my feet. I just have to take it easy.
Yeah, but you specifically said yesterday that the doctor wants you to be on one of those like scooters or whatever. The little rolly bike.
Man, I can't be a gangster with the rolly bike.
Do you worry about physical therapy when you take the butt foot out and the physical therapist sees that?
Oh, could you imagine?
I'm not insecure about the butt foot.
Okay. You should.
It's
be.
A good story. Yeah, no, I'm not insecure about the butt foot.
Those words have never been uttered. You should absolutely, anybody out there who has a butt foot like Channing Crowder, you should be insecure. 100%, you should be. What else you got, Dan?
Joe Burrow recently posted on Instagram, Bengals versus Dolphins in Madrid, please be true. Of course, we know the Dolphins are going to play in Madrid. We just don't know the opponent yet.
Does Burrow have a significant other?
No, remember his house got robbed and he had like a swimsuit model in it or something. Remember that story?
I know his house got robbed, but there was somebody.
It was a bad one in there with him.
Ooh.
Allegedly.
Ooh. Allegedly.
Oh. All right. So he wants to go to Madrid, huh?
Hmm.
Yeah, I see you. I see you, Joey B. You fooled on all you. I see you, Joey B. A week in Madrid, man. Who wouldn't love that?
One more. The Marlins could be investigated by Major League Baseball for not spending enough money on their roster. It is reported they're $20 million under the required minimum limit.
Investigated.
Yeah, I saw this story. It's a little complicated based on like MLB rules and salary rules and what they get back in revenue sharing from TV deals. But essentially, the Marlins are like, hey, we found a loophole here, because there's like these are rules, but they're kind of set up as guidelines. And the Marlins have basically said that the percentage of money you have to use towards your roster from the revenue sharing money that the Marlins get each year, they're supposed to use it towards their roster. And the Marlins have essentially said, well, we're not spending it on players, but we are spending it to improve our players. So isn't that the same thing? And it's the Marlins. So at this point, like, we're not hearing any sort of news about signings. We're not hearing any sort of news about anything moving forward. We got Sandy on the bump for the first game coming up next Thursday. And if you're a Marlins fan out there, or you're at the very least one of these people who still want to appreciate Sandy Alcantara, my advice to you is appreciate him while you got him. Okay, that's my advice, because I don't know how much longer Sandy will be in a Marlins jersey.
This Bruce Sherman is cutting corners, man.
Yeah.
Come on, Bruce. You can't pay nobody.
Because a couple months ago, I read it a couple months ago, Bruce was at training camp, or a month ago. He's like, yeah, I mean, we're building this, you know, player development facility unlike anything you've ever seen in Major League Baseball. And you're like, huh, all right, that's cool. But now we're finding out why he's speaking about it. And yeah, because he wants it all on the record, what they're using all that money for.
Come on, Bruce, man. We got to win some games, man.
Maybe we can get Jonah McBride back on the show and he can tell us more about it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get Mervis on. That's our boy this year.
Oh, okay.
Mervis. Yeah.
Let's get to weather from the New Mesman and Dover Law Firm. Your accidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the high 70s, but temperatures should be dropping throughout the day and for the rest of the week. Just a little bit, though.
Before we get to Mike Cunha on the next segment, I want to talk to him about the Dolphins quickly, Crowder. We'll transition back to the Dolphins. We'll ask him about, you know, what we were talking about earlier with Eric Spoelstra and does he deserve any of the blame for what's going on here. But I saw yesterday we talked about Mel Kiper. I know you don't like Mel Kiper, but we talked about who he thinks is going to go number one. He released his mock draft post the first wave of free agency. And for the Dolphins, he has an offensive tackle out of LSU. His name is Will Campbell at 13. So my question to you is yes or no, Dolphins take offensive tackle with the 13th overall pick. Your reaction would be?
Yes.
Yes, right? Happy.
I love it. Fat men. I need fat men.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell
eating
you what he
disorders.
Said. Yes. no bunions. No bunions, but eating disorders.
Fat dudes have bunions. I like bad feet, flat feet. I like big, heavy, overweight people for the Dolphins.
All right. Well, we'll find out what Mike Cunha thinks about some of that. Not all of it, but some of that. Coming up on the other side. Solana here. I'm live at the Kaseya Center trying to bring some better vibes for a Heat Pistons game. That'll be at 7:30 tonight. Crowder's in Nashville doing the show live. Dan and Jimmy are back in the studio. Mike Cunha from CBS4 joins us next.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
When did the Brewers move to the National League?
What city are the Brewers in?
Hawk and Crowder.
We're going to talk with Mike Cunha here. He's going to join us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood, on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. I'm live at the Kaseya Center. Of course, Hawk will be back with us Monday. Crowder is in Nashville, and I welcome in anchor and reporter, CBS4 in Miami, Mike Cunha. Cunha, did I see this correctly with the tournament coming up that you, a Florida State Seminole, are perhaps picking the Florida Gators to win it all?
Not perhaps. I am.
No, wow.
They look like a complete team. They've got some guys with Final Four experience, or a guy with Final Four experience who was on that FAU team, Elijah Martin, a couple years ago. So why not them? You know what I mean? I picked on Crowder enough over the years. I had to throw him a bone.
Yeah, they can play, man. And my man Golden, they gave me hell about him. But, no, they do have a good team. Mike, do you have any problems? This thing's killing me with people criticizing that, like, the SEC is getting this treatment that's unfair on all that stuff where Ole Miss can play, Alabama can play, Florida can play. Do you have any problem with the number of SEC teams? I think it's 14 damn teams that are in the 64. You have any problem with the SEC bias, quote-unquote, that people are talking about?
Yeah, I don't think it's bias. I think they're just actually that good. That conference all year was just seemed loaded. I mean, I'm not like a college basketball expert, but every time you looked at the rankings, in the top five, there would be three teams. You know, you had Auburn and Alabama play against each other earlier this year, and they were 1-2. That was like the first time the basketball version of the Iron Bowl ever had a 1-2 1-2 meeting. Like top to bottom, the Gators were constantly in the mix. And I think what plays into maybe the SEC's favor was, especially with the Gators, I don't think anyone knew how good Florida was actually going to be this year. Like, I don't think it was tournament team maybe, you know, but to be at the top of the conference when you have other teams like Auburn and Alabama, Tennessee doing so well at the same time. Like, yeah, it just is what it is. The SEC got hot this year, and they have more teams than anyone else maybe ever, and that's just how it played out. Look at UNC. UNC this year went 1-12 against what we call quad one teams, like teams that should be in the tournament. Now, they won last night to get into the play-in, but it's not like UNC, you know, a staple at the top of the ACC, was playing lights out. But everyone in the SEC seemed to be playing very well all year.
And Mike, it's funny because we talked to Zach Gelb earlier. We kind of talked about the NIL, where I'm, like, taking pride in it. You know what I'm saying? Where this is where the NIL changes things, because the SEC has a lot of damn money. Like, this is what you're going to see with those top teams, right?
Yeah, and it's funny how in football it kind of went the other way, right? You saw, like, the Big Ten catch up a little bit. You saw what a team like SMU and the ACC could do moving over to a big conference and getting involved in NIL, and how they in football can all of a sudden, you know, turn into a playoff team. It went the other way for the SEC in basketball, where all of a sudden, you know, they've got more teams competing. Basketball is an interesting one. Look, UM knows Nigel Pack, Norshed Omier, getting all those guys over here through NIL, propped them into a Final Four run a couple of years ago. Basketball, there's not 80 guys on the roster. You can kind of focus in your money on top couple guys and all of a sudden make something happen. And that's kind of what they did. You know, look at Elijah Martin from FAU at Florida now. You went out, you honed in on a guy with experience and he's good, and he's helping you get to the tourney and hopefully a Final Four.
Cuno and the tugboat rooting for the same team in the tournament. Wow! How times have changed.
If the boat ever breaks down, I'm gonna need a lift. So you know, every once in a while.
I want to talk Mike Cuno here of CBS4. I want to talk some Dolphins with you, Cuno. But before we do, I'm at the Kaseya Center today. The Heat, it's been tough over the past couple of weeks. You know, I join you on CBS4. We've talked about what's been going on here. And Crowder and I, to start the show, we were kind of going over, like, the blame pie, dishing out, you know, pieces of the blame pie. And there's plenty to go around. But do you believe, because Crowder thinks Spo, none of this is on Spo, the current 8-game losing skid and where the Heat are at as a 10 seed, none of this is on Spo. He just thinks it's a talent issue and it's on the players and on the front office. But my take is, hey, at this point, with how bad it's gotten, not that this is only on Spo, but everybody kind of deserves a piece of the blame pie at this point.
Everyone does. I don't think anyone's safe from blame when it's this bad, because I'm not sure. Did Utah end up breaking their 8-game win streak? Because at one point, Miami had the second longest. The Jazz had the longest when Miami had 7 losses in a row. Utah had 8. So when you're at the bottom of the barrel in the NBA, like, everyone's fair game for blame. The Miami Heat, though, you know, we said this the other day. Like, on paper, you look at this team and you go, okay, this should not happen. Like, there's enough talent here. But the thing I think they're missing is that superstar, and it doesn't have to be like top 10 player in the league, but a superstar and someone who can close out a game. There's no game control. Talk about these massive swings and runs that the Heat go through, where they'll be up 15 or 20 and then lose and then can't like stop the bleeding. There's no one getting to the line for this team in the fourth, like, who can get to the line for this team in the fourth quarter, I think, and just kind of slow everything down and maybe change that. Like, if you look at the average free throw attempts per game for the Miami Heat, the leader is still Jimmy Butler, and he hasn't been here for, you know, a few months now. Now, that's just average. It's not total, but still, it just shows you that no one's really doing – it doesn't feel like anyone's doing the dirty work. We talk about that with the Panthers, like all these guys who are willing to do the dirty work and control the puck in the zone and make things happen in front of the net. I just don't think the Heat have that guy, and that's what they're missing. They've got a 2 and a 3. I think they're missing a 1 still.
And speak about a 2 and 3, Mike, because this was kind of what I was, you know, we were talking earlier, and me and Solano were debating it, where, like, is this showing the deficiencies of Tyler and Bam? Because it seemed like when Jimmy was here, like, Bam was a good 2, Tyler was a good 3. Like, you kind of saw it, and now you don't have that 1 Then you see Jimmy go to Golden State, and they what are they, like 14-2 when he has that one. But then you look at Tyler and Bam now, and it's, I would say, me personally, I'm gonna put on anybody else. Like, now it start making me question, are they really a good 2 and 3?
Well, I don't know. Okay, so here's the thing. If they're a 2 and 3, and I don't want to call that being a deficiency. I mean, that is, everyone's got a role. If that's their role and that's maybe their ceiling, that they are what they are, and that's fine. We've seen them make playoff runs with those two guys playing that role, and I think that's okay. You just, it's not like I'm here saying blow it up. I'm saying they need a guy. They need the guy on that roster, and they don't have it. Getting rid of Jimmy Butler, like, it was just, the marriage didn't work anymore. It had run its course. It was over. It was fun while it lasted. But when you lost him, you didn't replace that kind of closer, that kind of alpha dog on the team. It's just, it's not there. They have to go out and find it somehow. I don't know how they do that at the moment, but they're in a spiral right now. And I think a lot of it's like, you have to find the guy to turn to.
Yeah,
in those moments to stop the bleed, and I don't think they have that.
Yeah, I've said it a couple times to you, Cuno. Like, there's no identity to this team right now, and that's crazy talking about a new team. Well, guess what? Jimmy Butler will be in this building a week from yesterday, and I mean, that guy is chomping at the bit to be at Pat Riley Court with the Golden State Warriors.
Are we going to go to Big Face Coffee pregame and
throw eggs at it, or what are we doing?
Just go get a cup of Joe. Maybe say hi to Jimmy.
Yeah, no. I mean, if Crowder's paying, I'm down. What does that run you? Like $33 for a cup of coffee at Big Face?
Basically, for the three cups, if you just get three normal cups of coffee, that's basically it. But Crowder, if you're going, I'm gonna want some swag too. You know, I want some merchandise.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I'm gonna go over there and put glue in the keyholes, like we used to do in high school.
Mike Cuno of CBS 4 is we'll blame it on Hawk.
There you go.
Mike Cuno of CBS 4. Before we get out of here, Cuno, I want to talk Dolphins with you. So we went through a ranking of AFC teams after the first week of free agency yesterday. Dolphins, this is on CBSSports.com, by the way. Dolphins were ranked 9th. So pretty much like kind of where they've been hovering over the past couple of years, certainly the Mike McDaniel era. What do you grade the Dolphin free agency moves after a week and a half here? I know, you know, the NFL draft is coming up. The Dolphins have 10 picks. But what would you grade the first wave of the offseason here with free agency from Chris Greer and the Dolphins?
Okay, I want to do this pass-fail because I want to give it a grade. Because I don't think it's – I think there's a couple of things hanging out in the wind before we can officially put a stamp on it. I'll give them a pass. And I'll do that because we still don't know what's going to happen with Calais Campbell. We don't know yet what's going on with Teron. So if those guys come back, that certainly helps both your offense and defensive line. So I need to see that. And then I do like that they have so many picks this year because it feels like they can sort of reload it in terms of a base and getting some talent in here. Now they have to hit on it. But so many times we've talked about this team winning free agency and it didn't result in wins in the season. So I kind of like that it felt low key that they did some things. They went out and got a number 3 wide receiver who had 9 touchdowns last year, who's a bigger body. I like that. Corner and safety, I'm a little concerned about because I'm just not sure how those guys are going to pan out. I'm not saying they're misses by any stretch. I just want to see it first. I have to see it all on the field together. So I don't want to, you know, necessarily judge all those moves, but I think if Calais comes back and gives you what he gave last year next to Zach Sealer, that's going to make me, at least on the defense, feel a lot better.
And Mike, I don't even know really when people ask me this question, kind of like Solana said, like the rebuild or the, you know, recalibrating, whatever they want to say, where I want more nasty. I want more aggression. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to know. I don't need to tush-push, but I need to know that this team can go get a 3rd-and-1. Is that mentality of the coaching staff, is that going to get just some nastier players? Like, how would I what can they do? Can they do it, honestly, Mike? Like, to make me happy where I feel as if, okay, we got dogs or whatever that phrase is, where you know you can get nasty if you need to get nasty.
Yeah, and you know, there were stretches of the season where when they turned to the run game without Tua, and I thought, you know, oh good, this is where they're at. You know, they're kind of getting that, and I don't know, that criticism to me, I always thought it was kind of overblown, but when you heard it from players, it was always concerning. I just don't know if that's a fix overnight, and I don't know if that's a fix through free agency. You know, I don't think you can fix it in a week. I think that comes from a leadership, and I think that has to come from the guys in the locker room who are there now. It has to, maybe a little pressure from what happened last year creates that, but that to me is one that's yet to be seen. You have to see it. It was so disjointed last year with everything that went on with that offense, with the offensive line going down and Tua going down. There was just a lot of questions that had to be answered, and for a lot of people, that might be number one for them. They're like, are the dogs there? Is this a nasty team? Is this a team that other teams are going to be scared to play? You want to see that. And I think they have to figure out how to make that happen this year. We saw, and the crazy thing is we thought they were headed that way. Jalen Ramsey, during the offseason last year, just saying, you know, we want to be bullies, like on the defense. And you thought that, okay, let that permeate through the locker room. I still think that can happen, but it has to come from the leadership, and it just has to play out. You can't have the, you know, showing up late to practice or not showing up for meeting stuff. That has to go away. Until that goes away, you're not going to get that kind of dog mentality.
Yeah, well, you know, Tua's been partying a lot this offseason, Mike. I don't know if you've been seeing the video.
Oh, who cares? Oh, my God. Man, let the man live.
That's the thing, Mike. Dudes like Solana. Like, as you were talking, I'm thinking about it.
He should be hitting the gym, Crowder. I mean, I'm just saying he should be hitting the gym, not hitting the bottles. All right? Hitting the gym, not the bottles.
I won't call out other names of Hall of Fame players that I partied with, but you party. But then there would be times where, like, Keith Traylor and Bonnie Holiday and Kevin Carter and those guys, Sam Madison, like, we'd look at the offense in the locker room, and I'd be like, I call Ronnie B. Black. I'd be like, Black, we playing today, bro. And he'd be like, well, bring it, MF-er. And we would be like, okay. And the practice would crank up to, like, an intense level that we knew we could get to. And I don't know if they have guys like that anymore.
Well, and that's why I said, like, I think it has to start with the leadership. Like, that has to be the conversation, right? Going into the practice. Like, that needs to come from the top. It has to be said, hey, we're coming for you today. That I love that. I love that story you just told me. I want to hear that from guys in the locker room this year. And I think when you hear, you know, at the end of the season, the press conference is, yeah, we were fining guys for being late. Well, that's telling me that those conversations probably aren't happening.
Yeah, well, what's happening is Tua is at the club and he's looking over to to Waddle, and he's like, hey, I want you to bring it today. And Waddle's like, hey, MF-er, let's go order some more bottles. Let's run it. I mean, they're turning up, Mike.
Leave the man alone. Let him turn up.
You can drink mimosas and still ball. Like, you know, I had a good time.
All right.
I have my own table at Tootsie's Steel.
Mike Cuneo, really?
When you donate like a brick to like a school and they just like engrave your name on a brick, is that what it is?
Mike, when I walk in Tootsie's, I go straight upstairs, back corner, right, and that they know that's Crowder's table. To this day, me and my wife go in there and they know that's my table.
But you're not donating bricks to Tootsie's, I hope, because that could also lead to a headline here, Cuneo, that we don't want.
I appreciate the Waze route to your seat at Tootsie's, Crowder.
Back right corner.
Yeah.
Right there by the ATM. I think they put me by the ATM on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
Mike Cuneo from CBS4. Watch him on CBS4, CBS HQ as well. Mike, thank you very much. Are you you're not coming to the Kaseya Center today, right? You've got tourney stuff to do all week.
I'm off today. I'm parked in front of the gym waiting to go in.
Oh, of course. What'd you have, like a cauliflower salad for your pre workout?
I had today's breakfast was steak and coffee, and that's what I'm at so far today.
Huh. Well, I walked in the gym today. I just did I did three different exercises, all bicep, and I got the hell out of there. So if you want me to send you my workout,
that's all that matters, bro. That's all matters. That's all that shows.
Yes,
wear
sir.
A polo today to work. You know what I mean?
Mike Cuno, appreciate you, bro.
You got it.
All right, that's Mike Cuno there. 4 o'clock hour coming up. Still a lot to get to. I want to talk about Tua because I don't know if, Crowder, you've seen the latest Tua Tagovailoa party video. So I do want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, man alone, man. That man's enjoying his damn offseason.
And there's some interesting news regarding, like, sports TV shows and sports movies. I want to get into all that with Channing Crowder. It's Solon, it's Crowder. Then Day Jimmy will take you up until 6 right here on the Hockman and Crowder Show.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I think healthier food actually just tastes better.
Ridiculous.
Hawk and Crowder.